With the series of public meetings taking place this week, we felt that it was really important for our community to be aware of what is at stake when it comes to the redistricting of our state. Representative Winsby Campos joins me as we discuss what this opportunity means for the future of Oregon. The virtual meetings are this week, September 8th, 9th, 10th, and 13th, at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. And at these meetings, members of the community can provide testimony, helping to guide the decisions of our representatives. Tune in to get all the details that you need to make sure that our voices are heard. Thank you for tuning in to the Numbers 96.7 FM. This is DJ Ambush, and I'm sitting here with Representative Winsby Campos. How are you today?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. So there's been a lot of conversation around redistricting, and I want to make sure our listeners are up to date with the latest information. What is this all about, and why is this so important?
Well, so every 10 years following the release of U.S. Census data, Oregon's legislature is tasked with redrawing congressional and state lines. These lines have to be reflective of the state's population shifts so that we can ensure that each district has equal representation. So that's the process we're going through now after having received the census data over the summer. And so to some, redistricting might not sound like the most thrilling kind of thing, but it's critical. It's important because it defines policy for the next decade. It influences the diversity of the candidates running for office. It influences funding for state and local communities, things like funding for housing, transportation, emergency response, the quality of our schools, among other resources. So it really is something that can impact day-to-day lives. So that's the general overview of what redistricting is, where the process is at, why we're doing this and why it's important.
So we were having conversations during the census, trying to make sure everyone got involved for some of these same reasons, just explaining to them the importance of representation. So do we have all the census data in? I believe at some point they were saying some of that data was delayed.
Yes, the data was delayed for a number of reasons. And we do now have all of the census data in. And so generally we have a timeline that is longer than what we're facing right now. So we received the data in August, actually, and now we have deadlines to meet. It's really a much shortened process, much more shortened process and turnaround than it generally is as a result of that delayed census data.
Okay. And because of the shorter deadline, what are the things that you are forced to fit within this deadline in order for us to, you know, to move effective in the way that we need to? What are the things that are of most priority to you guys now?
Well, so House Democrats, which is where I'm coming from, we are committed to fair and representative maps that will hold up to the highest of legal standards. Mm-hmm. And even though we do have this shortened timeline, this year's redistricting process has actually been the most inclusive and accessible process in Oregon's history. Those of us on the redistricting committees on the House and Senate have been, we did hold public hearings back in during legislative session earlier this year. And we will be having public hearings coming up, which I'll go a little bit more into. But just because we have this shortened timeline doesn't mean that we haven't been able to include people in the process. We heard a record amount of testimony at the beginning of the year. So we held 10 public hearings to hear about the communities and how they want their districts to look for the next 10 years. And now we look forward to holding 12 virtual hearings. And one of the things that, you know, that we've had to do in this pandemic is adjust to this virtual world. And surely, so we had to actually change Our initial plan, which was going to be traveling around the state and having these hearings in person as a result of the rising cases that we are seeing, we have put it all to virtual. Folks can, for those who do not have internet access that is reliable to testify, they can also submit written testimony.
Excellent. You said there was a record number of testimonies previous to this. What were some of the primary concerns issued with redistricting?
So folks talked a lot about communities of interest, and that's what we really want people, what we want to hear from people. You know, we want to hear about how communities have changed, how they've grown. And that's a lot of what folks focused on. Essentially, when we talk about communities of interest, what we are talking about is you know, communities want to be able to elect folks who represent their community and the issues they face. So no matter our race, faith, or zip code, we know that we all deserve meaningful representation. And so, you know, X community in X area has common interests and unique needs, and we do not want those needs and interests to be diluted. And so a lot of that public testimony were folks sharing what those communities of interest mean to them.
That makes sense. So this will, when is the next time that an opportunity like this will arise where redistricting becomes part of the conversation as an option? How long does this redistricting last, this particular phase?
This process of...
Well, when is the next time we would have a chance to get engaged in the process of redistricting? Because right now we have 5, correct? And there's a possible of us going to 6 districts. Am I getting that right?
That is correct. We do know that we are getting a 6th congressional district.
Okay.
Because we have had an increase in population in Oregon, and there are certain thresholds of numbers that have to be reached for us to be at the place where we are at right now, knowing that we are going to have another district. We will not have this conversation again as the process is set up right now for another decade, another 10 years. Wow. So that's why, you know, we really want to be attracting attention to this. We really want folks to engage because, again, this defines the next 10 years and what we see in policy and in funding.
Have you been able to compare the census data, the most recent census data, with the previous census data? And how has that shaped kind of the conversation you've been having with people with communicating the importance of getting involved?
Yes, absolutely. We've taken a look at the numbers of 2010. Of course, you know, folks are out there doing their own analysis. Mm-hmm. We do see that we have seen growth, a lot of growth since 2010. And that's why it's so critical, because we know that there is going to be change across the state, whether that be with the state legislature or the congressional lines that we draw. It goes to the point of wanting to make sure that folks really feel as if their voice is heard, mm-hmm. and that their voice really matters. So as we draw these lines, those we're taking into account that, again, all deserve meaningful representation.
Now, there has been another conversation going on right now. There have been counties that have been lobbying to secede to another state. If that were to happen, how does that play with the redistricting? Is there any relationship and how that would, you know, how would that play moving forward?
So that's a great question that I have not been asked or heard anyone ask in terms of relation with the redistricting process. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing about it is right now we know that even though we've known for several years that we've had a lot of growth in places, that didn't change that this was the year that we were going to be addressing it. Mm-hmm. So I can't specifically say that. I don't think I can give a super concrete answer outside of that this is a process that happens every 10 years and things change during that decade.
Right. Could you speak a little bit about the Republican strategy and what they would like to see happen?
So what I can share about that is that unfortunately, and this was noted during our, we just recently had a public hearing on September 3rd, that the House Republicans did not engage with the map making process. So there are maps that are out on the Oregon legislature website. And you will see, for anyone that goes onto the website, we'll see that there are House Democrat maps and that there was no really engagement from the House R's on that. We had hoped to work collaboratively and unfortunately that was not the case.
So then what position does that put them in? Do they, like, is it something where they get an opportunity to present a map much further into the process that no one had the opportunity to see, or how does that work exactly?
Absolutely. So all of these maps that have been put out are on the legislative website. They do look different. But what I want to emphasize here is that none of these maps that are on the Oregon legislature website, from the Republican side, from the Democrat side, from the Senate, from the House, these maps are not final. We do have, as I mentioned, we do have some hearings coming up. And those hearings are critical to this process. We cannot do this process and say that it is inclusive without taking into account that public input. And so we will be using that public input to help us improve and ensure fair representative lines for the final maps that we vote on. So absolutely, they have had the opportunity to present their maps. We have as well. None of these are the final ones.
Okay. And how does this process end? A majority vote determines what the new districts will look like?
So once the committee completes the public hearings, again, we will review public input on draft congressional and legislative maps and make those final adjustments. And then the deadline to draw, vote on, and submit maps is September 27th.
Okay.
So we expect the legislature to convene a special session to vote on maps the week of September 20th. And we are right now hopeful that folks will come out and engage during those hearings so that we can vote on these maps during that special session.
What does it look like if there's some, you know, hiccup in the process? I do recall Secretary of State Shamia Fagan saying if this isn't resolved and whatever the normal process is, that she would reach out to an independent contractor or independent agency to handle the redistricting?
Yes, we do have, so if the legislature cannot come to agreement on maps, we do have a process where drawing those legislative maps will go to Secretary of State Shamia Fagan, and she has talked a lot about having a People's Commission. And so the People's Commission would be a volunteer public service opportunity to inform and advise Oregon Secretary of State in the redistricting process. And again, that will go to her if the legislature cannot come to agreement on maps to vote on.
Okay. So how can people get involved? We do have a series of meetings coming up. What's the best way for our listeners to get involved?
Thank you for asking that question. So the virtual hearings are September 8th to 13th. We will hear from Oregonians across the state. People can get updates and sign up to testify by visiting the redistricting webpage on the legislature's website, which is OregonLegislature.gov/redistricting. So again, that's OregonLegislature.gov/redistricting. We've also pulled together a handy guide to help people sign up, where they can go and figure out who their representatives are, so they know which opportunities they can sign up for. And the link to that is a bit.ly slash testify sign up.
Okay. What are the most, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, no.
What are the most helpful points to present in their testimony?
So tell us about your district, how it's grown or changed. Again, back to the communities of interest. If there are communities of interests, you're part of that need to be kept together. We want to hear about that. The people's voice in this process matters. We want to hear from them. We want to hear about, communities of interest in specific areas who have demonstrated through their behavior, political, commercial, cultural, that they have common interests.
Excellent. We've been trying to engage our audience in as many ways as possible to continually communicate the fact that, your vote does matter. Your vote does matter. Your voice does matter. Representative Campos, what brought you to this work?
The redistricting work or the
legislative work.
So legislative work. At the time that I made the decision to run, I was working as a case manager for a transitional housing program that helped families experiencing houselessness get into housing. And I had a day at work where at the beginning of the day, I was on the phone with somebody who by the end of the phone call knew that they were going to be sleeping outside because everywhere they had called had a wait list. I ended that day with a mom breaking down in tears in front of me, asking me how she was supposed to put a roof over her children's heads when she works 40 hours a week, but is at minimum wage. And she laid out what those numbers meant for her. For her, that meant she was $300 short every month of what she needed to just pay necessary expenses. And so she left and I sat at my desk feeling really angry and frustrated. And I thought to myself, what we need is change at a policy level. We need people that are on the front lines of the most pressing issues that we're facing, but we also need people who bring diverse lived experiences and perspectives, like those that I bring as somebody who grew up in a low-income household, as the daughter of immigrants, as somebody who knows what it is to go to the food bank, to the low-income community dinners. I watched my dad work hard over the years so that I could have opportunities in life, and also had folks in my life, like my fifth grade teacher, who saw a student whose family was struggling and ended up being like a surrogate mom, was the person who drove me to college many, many years later when we didn't have a car that could make the trip. So people that really influenced my life made me want to give back to the community and to fight for social justice and advocate for communities that we know have been really left out of the legislative process.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think it's just, it's really, really important that, we're able to hear and see from people that share our stories and share our experience. And for you to be in the position that you're in now, making sure that, we are well aware of the opportunities to engage and shape our community and shape our future is extremely important. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Are there any final words you'd like to leave our community with?
I will just share this is a really important and critical process. And as you noted, we want to make sure that we are hearing from everybody. And so please really engage in this process in whatever ways you can. Those would be my last words to folks.
Excellent. Thank you so much. You guys have heard it first. We'll make sure we post the links to all the relevant information in the comments or in the description for this interview. Make sure you head on over to the website if you want to replay it, and we'll share some bits and pieces on social media. Please feel free to post any questions there that we can relay and get you some answers to as well. Thank you for tuning in.